Welcome to the Ministry of Grace. We trust that this message will encourage you, challenge you, and inspire you to be all that you can be.
The truth don't always set us free because we don't know the truth. And that seems a contradiction, but sometimes we read it and say, by his stripes we're healed, and yet we walk in the pain. There is a victory that will come in eternity, isn't there? That we all will be healed on that day. But it's in the meantime that some of us walk through that valley experience. It's in the meantime that we have suffering. It's in the meantime. But that doesn't mean that we can't pray and believe that God will. And some time ago, about five years ago, there was a child called Lily May, and we had a dedication for her here in this village hall. And it was quite a party. There was a bouncy castle and lots of things going on. Why? I'm glad you asked. Because she had just 2 weeks to live. And her parents weren't necessarily very religious, in inverted commas, but they asked if I would be willing to dedicate her. And of course, I said yes. It'd be a privilege. And I stood here with this child floppy in my arms, and something overcame me. And I can only say it was compassion. So I turned to the parents and said, can I pray for your child the way that I'd pray for my own? And they said, yeah. I said, no, really. Can I pray for your child the way I'd pray for my own? And they said, yes. And I said it a third time, can I pray for your child the way I'd pray for mine? And they said, yes. So I cried out to God, tears streaming down my face and saying, Lord, this is Resurrection Sunday. And that child's now 4 years old. And it's not because of my prayer, but it's because of God's grace, isn't it? So I just want to remind us that, you know, today is a day that Christians, millions of Christians around the world will celebrate. But also, if there's something that has died in your life, this is the day, surely, to say, Lord, bring it back to life. Lazarus was in the tomb, yet there was one word, Lazarus, come forth, and he came. And I just want to pray that you will receive one word today, whatever that will be, that you will be able to trust God and say, Lord, bring back to life this very thing that has died. Now, over the weeks, I've been ministering on a theme of fear, and I've been using my testimony, some of my story, and today is no different. I want to continue that theme of fear, and I just want to give you some background in case you haven't been here for a while, and just to say that there was a song that was brought to us by Clive, and it said this, I'm no longer a slave to fear, I am a child of God. And that really gripped me, and I was privileged to do a funeral service for a sweet lady, and the song was there again, and it gripped me a second time. And so I started to look at the whole area of slave and fear, and I just wrote a couple of things down. Slave, a person who is the legal property of another and is forced to obey them. Fear, an unpleasant emotion caused by the threat of danger, pain, or harm. And as I started to think about this, I wrote down four fears that I had growing up. I had many fears as a child, and these were maybe four of the biggest ones. And one of my fears growing up was a fear of failure. A fear of failure. Another one was a fear of the dark. And the last time I ministered, it was on the fear of speaking or reading out loud. That was a big one. But the biggest one for me was this one. It was the fear of death. Not my death, but losing a loved one. Losing someone that was close to me. And I will share more of that part of my testimony as we go through today's service. And for me, it was a lonely childhood. For me, it was a painful childhood. And that fear of death overcome me. So I just want to talk to us today, not about death, but about life, because this is Resurrection Sunday. Jesus rose again, but in order to rise again, he had to die. Now, I know that I'm preaching to the converted, but many of you have come to an Easter service expecting that we will preach to the converted, we will preach about the death and the resurrection of Christ. And I've put together some scriptures that you can see on the board there. Now you can't. And if you're like me, that message will self-destruct in 5 seconds. So this will all be new. But I just want to read this and hope that you'll get the journey as I go along and grab my heart and let the Holy Spirit minister to you afresh. It says this in Matthew 4, verse 16. The people living in darkness have seen a great light, and those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. And it said this, says this, and from that time on, Jesus began to preach, repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. And that's the message that Jesus came to bring. And that's the message that he's left with us. And that's the message that the Holy Spirit prompts us to keep bringing. That is the essence of the good news of the gospel, that when we repent, we find life and life in all its fullness. In 1 Corinthians 15, 55, it says this, where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? Listen to this one. In 56, it says, the sting of death is sin. The Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But the power of sin is the law. Now, the law was something that in the Old Testament, as you read your scripture, they had to obey, but no one could. So they had to bring a blood sacrifice. The power of sin was the law. But thanks be to God, he gave us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. There is a victory that God has given us, but it is through our Lord Jesus Christ. In Romans 6, verse 23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. So there is a price to pay, but God has given us a gift. So I want to remind us afresh today that there is a free gift. In the news just recently, we have heard of a French policeman who gave his life as a substitute for another, didn't he? And if you read that, very heartwarming, very sad, very brave, very compassionate. This man gave his life because of sin. Jesus came to conquer sin so that we could have life. And we will see around us from time to time individuals that will stand in the gap for another. When we look back on world wars and conflicts around the world, there are men and women willing to sacrifice their lives in order to give someone else hope. Jesus came to get rid of sin, to give humanity hope. This is a good news story. This is a story that I want to remind you afresh of what God is doing and what God is saying. In Matthew 20, verse 18, we are going up to Jerusalem, Jesus said, and the Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and the teachers of the law, and they will condemn him to death and hand him over to the Gentiles to be mocked and to be flogged and to be crucified. And on the third day, he will be raised to life. And sometimes when we go through this life of ours, it seems as if we're walking into the lion's den, we're walking into the mockers, we're walking into certain death. But Jesus said then, and he says today still through his Spirit, but there is life and there is life in all its fullness. Where is that life? Glad you asked. It's in him. And you don't need to wait 3 days for what's died in your life to come back to life. Today, the Bible says, is the day of salvation. I'll let you see what's coming next. Mark 14, 32. They went to the place called Gethsemane. And Jesus said to his disciples, sit here for a while and pray. He took Peter, James, and John along with him, and he began to be deeply distressed and troubled. He says, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. And he said to them, stay here and keep watch. Jesus knew what it was he had to walk through. And there are times for me and you that we get glimpses of what we have to walk through. And there's times when the suddenly comes. And some weeks ago, I was in a public forum, and it wasn't a very nice forum, and suddenly fear overcame me, and my legs turned to jelly, and when I stood up to speak, my voice would go into high pitch and low pitch, and I would sweat. I was fearful or full of fear. I was afraid of confrontation, yet there was something within me that rose up to say, you need to be a light in the darkness. You need to be a voice in the wilderness. Not exactly, I didn't say repent for the kingdom of heaven is near, but I tried my level best to stand in the gap for the vulnerable, and the downtrodden. But fear gripped me. And as Christians, I would like to suggest there are times that fear will grip you. Yet through the Bible, it says time and time again, fear not, fear not, fear not, for I am with you. Fear not, for I have paid the price. Fear not. Yet we do. Or is it just me? There are times where fear comes. But fear won't be fatal unless it's final. And Jesus said on the cross, it is finished. So he paid the price so that we don't have to fear. The Bible says that perfect love drives out fear, yes? And Jesus says, I am love. So he casts out fear. When we're burdened and heavy laden, he says, come to me, all who are. So for me, I had to be reminded again that Jesus stands with me. When I stand, he is there. When I sit, he is there. I don't need to worry about what to say, the Bible says, for he will give me the very words. As I seek him, then at the overflow of the heart, my mouth will speak. Why? Because I saturate myself in his word, his plans, his purposes. But there are times where fear will try to come up and creep alongside us. But Jesus is our guard, isn't he? He's given us an armor. He is our rear guard. As well as going before us and beside us, above us and beneath us, or as well as his arms being wrapped around us, Jesus says, I am there, fear not. In John 12, 23, it says, Jesus replied, the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. That's Christ himself. Very truly, I tell you, in other words, listen, I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains but a single seed. But if it dies, it will produce many seeds. Scripture tells us if we want to save our lives, we have to lose our lives. That doesn't sound logical to me. The Bible says if we want to save our lives, we have to lose our lives. I went to a baptism service yesterday. It was an awesome event where young people were being baptized. And baptism is a symbol that we die to self and we live to Christ. So as we lose our lives in this world, we gain our lives in the eternal world. That's being born again of God's Spirit. But in order for that to happen, Christ had to die. He had to be on a cross and have the punishment of humanity poured upon him. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, the Bible says. And it's good to be reminded of that afresh this Sunday. But thanks be to God that through his Son, Jesus Christ, all who believe will have life and life in all its fullness. So Jesus dies as a single seed. But because that seed went into the ground and it produced something and it was resurrected, then therefore we can live again. We can be born a second time. We can have life in its fullness. We can have eternity at our disposal. Fear not, the Bible says. In John 5, 24, very truly, listen, I tell you, whoever hears my word and believes in him who sent me has eternal life, and he will not be judged. But he has crossed over from death to life. So these are not just my words. They're not just a minister trying to articulate something to make you feel good. These are his words. He says, very truly, listen to me, all those that have ears to hear and eyes to see, I tell you, whoever hears my words and believes him who sent me, that's God. If you believe what my Father has said about me, you will have eternal life. You'll not be judged. There is a day of judgment where we will all be at that seat. We will all be at that mercy seat, that bema. We will all be there to give an account for the things that are good and the things that are not good. But the truth is, we will have crossed over from death to life. So this is a good news story. Although when we look at Christ on the cross, it seems to be that it's over. I can just picture the crowds, the multitudes, the throng, the mockers and the onlookers and the religious of the day saying, he calls himself Messiah, yet he can do nothing. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? In Matthew 25, 46, then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. What is this all about? Jesus is saying to those that will listen, whatever you do in my name, you do for me. So for us as Christians, and for those that are on a journey, the Lord says to us afresh, I believe, fear not, serve me, trust me. If there's something that has died in your life, pray. If your hip hurts, pray. If your bank balance is empty, pray. If your friend is sick, pray. If you've been giving, as Michelle brought last week, a bad report, pray. We can't do anything, but he can through us. Because we are not going to go to eternal punishment, because we've been made righteous. How have we been made righteous? Because we put our faith in Christ. Because when he hung on the cross and said, it is finished, the curtain in the temple that separated us from God was torn. And because it was torn, it gave me and you and all those that will hear the good news of the gospel access to God himself. No longer do we have to come to a priest. No longer do we have to bring a blood sacrifice. No longer do we have to hang our head in shame. We can come with our head held high. Why? Because it is finished. Because if we are his children, we're no longer a slave to fear. That we have been those that have repented, turned away from our old life and turned to his life. We are those that acknowledge that Christ in us, the hope of glory. That we are righteous because of his righteousness. That when we come afresh to his table, we can say, Lord, create in me a clean heart, renew a right spirit, that I may be all that you've called me to be. Today is the Sunday we celebrate as Resurrection Day. Today is the day of salvation. In John 3:16, a well-known passage, it can become so familiar to us that it sometimes loses its potency, its power. But it says this, for God so loved the world. That's you and me. Before, while we were still sinners, God said, while we were still sinners, he gave his life. While we were still sinners, he gave his life for me and for you. It says, for God so loved me and you. Put your name there. Maybe it's a long time since someone has said, I love you unconditionally. Well, God does. That he gave his one and only son, that whoever would believe in him, and that's the key of the gospel. Will you believe in him? Yeah, but Lord, I haven't come to church for ages. If you go park yourself in a garage, it doesn't make you a car, does it? No. Does it? Sit in McDonald's, do you become a hamburger? You don't, do you? And we've heard these analogies time and time again, but coming to church don't make you a Christian. Believing that Christ is your Savior makes you a Christian. So will you believe in him? You shall not perish, but have eternal life. This life is but a vapor. Do you know, I can't get my head around it. When fear overcomes me, when fear overwhelms me, I have to hang on to Christ as my anchor. I have to hang on to his word, because he has said. And if he has said it, it will come to pass. Because the seed this time in this harvest. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. But he does go on to say this, whoever believes in him will not be condemned, but whoever does not believe in him stands condemned already. You know what? For there to be a good news, there has to be a not so good news. And the not so good news is that there are people who will just reject his word and just say, thank you, it sounds good, but not for me. Well, that's fine, because that's choice. And God loves you enough to give you the choice to choose. And that's what I love about the gospel. But for those that will believe in him, he will give you life in all its fullness. In Romans 5, starting at verse 8, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He didn't... Have you... I had this false sense of religion when I was younger. I thought, I can't go to church because I'm not good enough. I'm not good enough to go to church. I'm not as holy as the rest of you. I don't get things right like you do. Or not, as the case may be. And I thought in my naivety that I had to do something to earn the privilege to go to church. I had to do something for God to love me. I had to pay a certain amount of money or have a certain gift. And all I had to bring was fear, failure, heartbreak, inadequacy, couldn't speak, dyslexic and couldn't take in information, couldn't read, couldn't write in the way in which I was supposed to in this modern world. Whenever I'd go into school, I couldn't understand what they were teaching me, so I did nothing and become disruptive. When I started work, I could never take a promotion because I couldn't understand computers, and it frustrated me. And I thought, there's no way I could come before God because I'm not worthy. Yet while I was still a sinner, he called me and he calls you. Since we have now been justified by his blood, just as if I've not sinned is what justified mean. How much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? See, God wants to bring something to life afresh for me and you today. 1 John 4:9 says this. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. That we might live through him. So I found out very quickly after becoming a Christian that I didn't have to do it because he would. That didn't mean that I could sit back and not read my Bible. It didn't mean that I could sit back and not listen to his word. That didn't mean that I didn't have to pray. It didn't mean that I didn't have to serve his plans and purposes. Salvation is free, and then everything else, there seems to be a price to it. I had to decide to pay a price. Lord, you have saved me for service. I want to serve you. Show me what to do. And this young man who was afraid of speaking out loud and couldn't read and couldn't write, God illuminated the scriptures and he put it in front of me and it just exploded. And so when I look at the Bible now, I can read it, I can interpret it. Why? Because his spirit lives in me. But there was a death in my life. I was dead in my sins and transgressions. And suddenly, after I accepted Jesus as Savior and Lord, after I said, Father, come into my life, create in me a clean heart, renew a right spirit, I became different. There was this, to Susan's horror, this man who couldn't be quiet whenever he had the opportunity to speak about Christ. Football, don't know anything. Sports, not interested. Hobbies, haven't got any. Politics, haven't got a clue. Bible excites me. There was something dead in my life. And through the Spirit of God, it became alive. So maybe afresh today, you could say, Lord, bring back to life that which is laying dormant. That seed that you've sown in my heart. Unless a seed falls to the ground and dies, it remains but a seed. Here's a picture for you. Something that the Lord gave me many years ago. I hope you get this. In a desert land, it's dry. And it's barren and it's parched. Can you picture that? Nothing grows. But in that desert land are many seeds that have been blown around for years and years and years. And they're just laying under the surface, dormant. It's the same seed that's in your garden and in my garden, where when the water comes, it causes something to happen. When the sun shines, it causes something to happen and it starts to grow. But in this barren land, the seeds are there, but they're laying dormant. And sometimes that can be areas of my life and maybe your life where there's seeds of faith that God has sown, where there's seeds of service that God has sown, and they're laying dormant. And you're saying, Lord, or maybe today you could say, Lord, bring us suddenly. And I had this picture of a flash flood. And what happened? So much rain fell on the hilltop that it washed down. And it washed into the desert land. And then overnight, the seeds start to germinate. and they started to produce something. Yet everybody around thought that this land is barren, this land will never produce anything. And maybe for you, you're thinking to yourself, you're your own worst enemy. This land will never produce anything. I can't speak like this person or sing like that person. I can't sing high notes. Just can't do it. So do I rule myself off in worship? No, because God's germinated that seed within me. Make a joyful noise. Maybe there's areas in your work situation you're going, this is dead. And I know I've spoken with our sister Karen many, many times over years, and I'm sure there's times in her life where she's thinking, this is it. This is it. I have to go through this valley yet again. It's death. And yet through testimony today, if you lay hold of him, he will lay hold of you. If you seek first his kingdom, then everything else will be added. And the suddenly came into a work situation where there was a flood and where the seeds of faith were dormant. They suddenly burst into life. And I know this sounds poetic, but that's exciting. God can do this. If God can take a lifeless child and through one prayer and one flood of tears bring life where there is death, and how much more to your career, how much more to your bank balance, how much more to your prayer life, how much more to your service, how much more to your relationships, how much more to your health, how much more will God do for you? Because he said, it is finished. It is finished. The man on the tree got planted into a tomb and everyone thought, he's dead, he's done. And yet on the third day, he rose again. First fruits, the Bible says. That seed fell to the ground, it died, and it rose again. And because Christ is risen, we can rise too. And that's the good news of the gospel. But there's a man called John. He came into the wilderness, and it was a message he had to preach. And the message was this: repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. We read in our first scripture that people living in the land of darkness have seen a great light. And we're living in darkness many days of our lives. It's light outside now. The sun shines, but all around us is darkness. When we switch on the TV and we hear about atrocity after atrocity and famine and flood and pestilence, we can see darkness. Yet God says there's light. I am the light of the world. So can I ask you afresh to invite him into your life afresh today? Lord, come and inhabit every dark area of my life, that I might live in the fullness of resurrection power, that we just won't celebrate on an Easter Sunday, but Lord, on a daily basis, Christ in me, the hope of glory. I want to share something with you that's very personal to me, and I can't find the original, so I've rewritten it, and it will be slightly different to what God showed me. Now, let me just give you some background and hope that you understand my heart on this. When I became a Christian, I was an unschooled and uneducated man. I wasn't thick. I'm quite a clever guy. I'm good with my hands. I'm good at solving problems. I'm good at the suddenlies in life. When there's a disaster, I'm good at being there and having the answer for the question. I'm good at those things. But when it comes to writing the question out, ask somebody else. I couldn't write and I couldn't spell. And we were blessed, Susan and I. We'd become Christians for about a month or so, and someone paid for us to go on a Christian holiday. And at this Christian holiday, they said, we're going to have an hour today, and we're going to divide it into two. And half an hour, you're just going to think about what God is doing in your life. And the other half an hour, we want you to write it down. Shock, horror. And then we want you to read it out. And I remember praying, God, I can't write this out. I can't do this. And whether you believe me or you don't is irrelevant, because this is true in my life. I put my pen to paper and this is what came out. It's not quite like when they threw the gold into the fire and this calf jumped out, but it is very similar, suddenly. And I started to write. Now, the spelling wasn't very good and it was rewritten for me and spelt correctly. I'd never written anything in my life longer than a sentence. I'd never written a letter. I'd never read a book. And I was at the age of 30, and I'd never written a letter, never read a book from cover to cover. I could only take things in visually, and I'd become a Christian, and God had illuminated something within me. And he helped me to put this poem down on paper. And when I finished it and read it, I realized it was my life story up to that point. So I want to share it with you, and I want to read it in the way in which it was written. So please hear my heart on this and glean from it. Today we're talking about fear, we're talking about death, and we're talking about life. I had a real fear of death, and this hopefully will explain why. And this is what the Lord helped me to write. Who cares? Who cares? There's war, there's murder, there's hopelessness, there's and misery. Who cares? Do I? I'm only a baby. But my nan cares. Granddad, mum, dad, they care. Who cares? There's war, there's murder, there's hopelessness and misery. Who cares? Do I? No. I'm busy growing up. But my nan cares. Well, she would have, but she died. Granddad, mum, dad, they care. Who cares? There's war, there's murder, there's hopelessness and misery. Who cares? Do I? No. I'm 7, 8, busy having fun. My nan would have cared. My granddad cares. Well, he would have, but he died. Mum, dad, they care. Who cares? There's war, there's murder, there's hopelessness and misery. Who cares? Do I? I'm 10, 11 now. Busy playing. Nan, granddad would have cared. Mum, dad, they care. Who cares? There's war, there's murder, there's hopelessness and misery. Who cares? Do I? No. But my mum cares. My dad cares. Well, he would have. But he died. Who cares? There's war, there's murder, there's hopelessness and misery. Who cares? Do I? I'm in my 20s now. Too busy with marriage, children. My mum cares. Oh, how she cares. Who cares? There's war, there's murder, there's hopelessness and misery. Who cares? Do I? I'm 30 now. Nan, granddad, dad, they would have cared. Mum cares. Oh, how she cares. Well, she would have, but she died. Who cares? There's war, there's murder, there's hopelessness and misery. Who cares for me? Nan, granddad, dad, mum, all gone. Who cares? There's war, there's murder, this hopelessness and misery. As I choke up inside and a tear rolls down my eye, I found the one who cares. His name is Jesus, and he will never die. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your resurrection. We thank you because you live, we can live. We thank you, Lord, that fear is cast out by love. We thank you, Lord, that you are love, that you so loved us, that you gave your one and only Son, Jesus Christ, to hang on a cross, to take my sin, to take my unbelief, to take my inadequacies, and to wash me, to cleanse me, to clothe me, to sit me, Father God, in a place of righteousness, so that I can have a right standing with you. Father, I thank you for the body that you've placed us in, your body, the church. Father, we thank you that you said it is finished, that we can be reminded that the things that have died in our lives, we can pray for God to bring the breath of his Holy Spirit on us afresh. Father God, we thank you that we can be salt and we can be light. Father God, we thank you that where there is darkness, you place us to become the light of life. Father God, we thank you that we no longer have to go out into the wilderness, but we can go out into the highways and the byways and beckon people in. Father God, we thank you that no longer are you one individual, Jesus Christ, but you are Spirit. You live within us that we may be born again of your life, your light and your glory. Father, this day, help us to receive you afresh. Any area of our lives, Lord, that have died, bring back to life. Breathe on us afresh today, we pray. That, Father God, this is the day that you have made. We want to rejoice and be glad in it. Father, we thank you that we come in our brokenness and our weakness and our inadequacies. That when we are strong, we're not as strong as you are. When we feel weak, we can lay hold of your strength. When we feel poor, you lavish your riches upon us. When the world misinterprets, you love us anyway. When the world says that you'll never achieve anything because you can't, you say, I can do all things because you strengthen me. Father God, today, come and minister to my body. Today, come and minister to my mind. Today, come and minister to my finances. Breathe afresh upon me, Lord, and bring to life the things that have died. Lord, where there's been seeds sown years gone by, bring that suddenly. Bring that flash flood, that I may be who you've called me to be. And God's people said, Amen. As our worship team come forward, can I invite you to pray a prayer with me, another prayer. Whether you're a Christian, a follower of Christ, or you're on your journey, whether you're somebody who feels that they've messed up, got it wrong, or got it right, God so loves you that he gives himself afresh to you today. The word Amen says, yes, Lord, let it be so. I'm not going to ask anyone to stand up, put a hand up, come forward, but I am going to ask you to pray this in your heart. If you would, and if you want to say Amen, then say Amen. Yes, Lord, let it be so. This is my prayer for me today and for you as God's children. You're no longer a slave to fear. You've been bought at a price, and that price was his blood shed on Calvary's cross. You've not been left in the tomb to rot because God has spoken to your heart and called you out. And if you haven't been called out, he calls you today. So, Father God, as you said at the beginning of your ministry, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Lord, I repent. I turn away from me and I, and I turn to you. Father, I don't understand, but Lord, today I want to receive that resurrection power. Today, Lord, I don't just want to know about you, I want to know you. Lord, come into my heart. Wash me, cleanse me, and clothe me so that I can be righteous. Lord, help me today so when I look in the mirror, I see you in me, that I may be all you've called me to be, a child of God. I ask this in the name that is above every other name, Lord, and that's the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. I ask you, Holy Spirit, to come and inhabit every part of my life and breathe into the barren wastelands, breathe into the and upon the death areas of my life, that I may see your goodness, that I may be your witness, that I may be a light in the darkness. I ask this in Jesus' name, and all those that want to said, Amen. Thanks, Jackie. Thank you for taking the time to listen to the Ministry of Grace. We trust that you have been inspired, and our prayer is that you will be blessed, that you may be a blessing to those around you.